Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where Dr. Janine Krause, that's me, gives you, a health junkie, a weekly dose of tools to help you increase your energy and resilience to life stressors. Hey, Health Junkies. The Health Fix Podcast is sponsored by EMF Rocks and athleticism.com, where you can find all the tools for whole brain and whole body performance so you can be an athlete for life. Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I have a treat. I have Nancy McCarthy back, and we're going to be talking about the holidays and how to survive them and get along with your family, but you know, not also that, you know, keep your mental sanity in general. Yes, we're still in the midst of a pandemic, and maybe you might be meeting with your family, but maybe you're not. And there's all kinds of different things that come up with that on either end of the spectrum. And unfortunately, we have on top of that, this whole concept of what party of thought process do you sit in? Let's put it that way. And unfortunately, it's come into a lot of play with how we carry out healthcare, how we carry out our everyday lives, and what we say in public. And this is a tough gig because I think a lot of folks are not only struggling with their feelings on whatever party they associate with, but also how can we just forget that and move on and just have a great holiday? So Nancy, welcome back to the Health Fix.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
So we've talked about your role as a coach and how you guide ladies through their life. And, you know, let's face it, as ladies, we tend to like to stuff things down and just be peacemakers. And what does that do for our health? Not so great things. And I'm sure in your coaching practice, you're seeing lots of ladies who have stuffed down their feelings about holidays, about parties in general, about how certain things go in life. And I wanted to really chat about that so that we can kind of shed some light that you're not alone for the ladies out there that are like, oh God, the holidays again. Oh, what do I do? And for those of us that, like myself, love to emotionally eat around the holidays.
Right. And there is so much goodness usually at that time, because that's when everybody does the baking, the cooking, the holiday meals. And then put that together with maybe some tense relations with holiday, you know, with your family. And that's a big combination of bad things that can set us going in a downward spiral for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So when folks come to you and we're working on, by the way, folks, you probably listened to my intro, but if you didn't, Nancy is a specialist in helping ladies over 50 work on their mental health in terms of getting through life, right? She's not a mental health therapist, none of that, but really it's just a coach for getting through life. And I know a lot of people will be like, oh, life coach, what the heck? No, really, I think we all need life coaches. And this is why I wanted to bring Nancy on and really talk about how do we approach those relationships? So what I think the first thing would be when you have a client coming in and chatting with you about relationships, and especially as we head into the holidays, what's one of the first things they want to be start to be thinking about in their head when it comes to, okay, the holidays are approaching. How am I going to get my mind right so that I can work on these relationships?
Yeah. And that's such a good question, because it really is all about us as individuals. Because when we get our own thinking clean and our own thoughts about ourselves and the people in our lives clear, then everything becomes easier. So one of the things I like people to start with is to ask yourself in your own life, what does your family mean to you? So look at who you have in your life right now, and how do you feel about each person individually? And this is a really good exercise to take out pen and paper and write it down and just get really clear and clean about it. So break it down, make a list, be specific. Who is, write down each person's name and how you feel about them. This is like kind of like square one in order to get yourself clear, because you may have some feelings about some relatives that you know you're going to see that you don't feel very good about. And the thing that's amazing about this work is that you can actually shift everything when you get clear on your own self. So we aren't going to change the people. We can't make them behave how we want them to. Uncle Doug might get drunk every Thanksgiving and talk about his very extreme political beliefs. We are not going to change Uncle Doug. And but what we can do is we can like expect that certain things are going to happen because they do happen every year. Mm-hmm. Maybe when, you know, dad has too many whiskeys, it's like he says too many things to Uncle Doug. And then there's, you know what I mean? It's like there's all the conflict can happen. But when we go into it prepared, and there's several different things I can share about that, then it really helps us to not be surprised or like devastated by things that happen. Politics are a big thing right now. And I just want to share real briefly. I have like a very good friend, and she and I are not on the same page as far as that goes. And I had a really good conversation with her the other day. And she lives in Arizona. I live in Washington. And I love her to pieces. I really do. And we had such a great conversation. And what I realized when I got off the phone is that it doesn't matter what she believes. What matters to me is who she is. She's a friend of mine that I've known for years. And we never knew that we were opposites on these beliefs until all of this came up. And that might be true for a lot of people out there. You may have like, politics may not have been a big thing until like the last few years, right? Well, now we get to decide, how do I want to believe? How do I want to think about this person? Do I love this person enough to be able to let them be who they are and allow them just to have their ideas and beliefs? And really what we've decided is that we really don't talk about politics or even about COVID, because she has different ideas about that too. And so we talk about the things that we have in common, the things that we love about each other. And I really, when I got off the phone, I felt really warm towards her. And I thought, this is possible, but you just really have to be able to rise above it and realize that everybody has their beliefs and we're not going to change them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, I think that's huge to talk about, because I mean, I hear it in my, when I was seeing patients one-on-one, I mean, I hear it all the time in terms of like, you know, even husbands, wives, mothers, daughters, yes. You know, this is something that unfortunately I don't want people to be torn apart because mm-hmm. of either. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think you've got it right. You know, looking at who they are, why you were friends or why you loved them in the mm-hmm. first place and what mm-hmm. you do love about them and embracing that. That's
exactly
huge, huge.
Absolutely.
Now you had mentioned going into the holidays, having some things to be prepared with. Mm-hmm. And that preparation is something that I like to think about a lot when I'm going for any type of party or anything I'm going into. And one of it has to do with expectations in particular, because I feel like we all, yes. let's face it, I don't know, most ladies, you see the Hallmark movies and you want that to happen.
Absolutely. Yes. The white picket fence, Norman Rockwell. That was my thing my whole life. So I wanted that. It's like, I had the most dysfunctional family in the world. I mean, and they believe really opposite things. And my brother, way back when, he's 13 years older than me, but he would go in the other room and sit by himself in the dark. I'm like, what are you doing? But you know what? He's still that way. And it's like, okay, that didn't fit into my picture of my white picket fence.
They don't show that in the Hallmark movie.
They don't.
No, it's you know, it's one of those things you're like, no, I want him to be, you know, around. I want him, you know, I don't want anybody to get drunk and cause, you know, drama, or I don't.
Right.
But unfortunately, expectations are as they are. And
yes. Well, and also it comes with traditions and obligations. So those are some pretty loaded words, right? And these can all potentially bring up resentment. And this is another thing to really like look at yourself, you know, really, because this is the only place that we have any control is within our own selves. Mm-hmm. So the family's going to do what they do. That's just the way it is. But we have all the control within our own selves on how we want to experience it, how we want to feel even. So our feelings come by what we choose to think. Yeah. So, right. So even though you may have had some really extreme thoughts about some of your family members, you may decide that's not really how you want to show up. That's not how you want to interact. You don't want to have conflict. So you can actually decide ahead of time with each person, depending on what your relationship is with them. How do I want to interact with this person? And knowing that they may do this, how do I want to show up? And so I think so many times we go into these interactions without planning at all. There's no forethought. And then you just show up with your pie and you're like, hey, here I am. And then all the things happen and you're just like, what is wrong with my family? They're such a mess. But it's like, you know what? You can go in ahead of time and really have plans for yourself on how you're going to see it all, how you're going to show up to each person. And it can change that the outcome of all of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that's absolutely true. So do you have people write down how they feel about each family member that's going to be at this particular holiday party and how that's going to look?
Exactly. Yeah. And because it's awareness for yourself, right? And then the second question, the first one is to ask yourself in your own life, what does family mean to you? Mm-hmm. And then write down all the specific people and thoughts about each one of them. And then the second one is, what do you want family to mean to you? Mm-hmm. So, you know, what do you want to create? What do I want my future idea of family to be? These are just kind of thoughts to let yourself ponder on a little bit. Who do you want to include? Do you want to create a new circle of family? So sometimes people are so like disappointed with their family. They've really moved away from them, broken away from them. And that's okay too, because, you know, life is short and we want to be happy, right? And sometimes in some families, it's just not possible for whatever reason. And so create a new family. And, you know, do you have a few friends that maybe are single or they're like wandering around on the holidays? Bring them together, create something new, and, you know, or do both. You could, you know, have that new family and old family, depending. It's everybody's different in the way that they are with, you know, within themselves and within the people that they know. But doing the work ahead of time has the power to change everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going in with a plan and not going blindsided, which I think is huge. I can see where if I looked at certain folks and I was like, okay, I just don't get along with George. Let's give him that name. No offense to anyone. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But I don't get along with him. Okay. I am going to, you know, interact in a way that maybe I can learn something about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, perhaps that would work. And then I think someone might be like, okay, great. I say I'm going to do that. But what if he's not receptive to my interactions? Mm-hmm. How do we go about that without being hurt?
Well, everybody gets to behave however they behave. And we don't have a choice on that, but we do have a choice on how we feel about it based on how we think about it. So if he is potentially one of those people that can create discord or, you know, discomfort, that kind of thing, you got to go in knowing that.
Mm-hmm.
And really just be prepared for it and go, you know what, that might happen again. That happened last year. And, you know, I'm just going to go in ready for it. And if he does, it's just, that's not him. It's really not about me. Right. And so depending on what the circumstances and what it is he's doing, it's like, you can choose to move over and talk to Aunt Betty. You know what I mean? It's like, there's choices here. But one of the things I wanted to share too, is what do boundaries feel like?
Mm.
Because sometimes we don't know what boundaries are. We can set boundaries, but we cannot expect anyone to behave in any way other than what they choose to do, right? But this is what boundaries feel like. It's not my job to fix others.
Mm-hmm.
It is okay if others get angry. It is okay to say no. It is not my job to take responsibility for others.
Yeah.
I don't have to anticipate the needs of others. It is my job to make me happy.
Mm.
Nobody has to agree with me. I have a right to my own feelings. I am enough.
Hmm.
So the emphasis is really on ourselves, right? This is where the energy goes. And so many times I think we kind of put ourselves to the back and we focus on everyone else.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, as a self-proclaimed people pleaser right here, do everything that everyone else is comfortable and the heck with me. It's about everyone else. They don't want, you know, conflict. I don't want someone to come and, you know, they don't want any drama, you know, so I'll run around and do whatever I can just to make things perfect, if you will.
Well, and that's the kind of the tragedy of it, because we don't have that control. Right. And then we're like, I failed because they had an argument. It's like, wait, we didn't have any choice in that anyway. It's like people are who they are. Right. And this falls into my next topic, which is the manual. And we talked about that a little bit last time. The manual is our list of expectations of what we expect other people to do. Some, for example, they shouldn't get sloppy drunk. People should help with the dishes. They should speak respectfully and be kind. They should control their children. They should be on time. I mean, there's just a list that goes on and on and on of what we expect other people to do. And that's like, that is considered a manual. And it's also considered emotional childhood, because the truth is we have no choice over what people choose to do. We can only choose what we choose to think about them and what we may do in response to whatever it is that they're doing. That's where we have the control.
That makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I think that's probably where a lot of conflict comes in the first place, is that idea of,
yes,
they always late. Why? Right. These certain things and their thoughts, like, you know, I would be amiss if I said, and I never thought that myself, you know, why am I always waiting on them? Why am I? And, you know, I know that I've been late to things. So it's like,
right. Yeah.
We put these out.
And one of the other things I think is really important is everybody's on a different level of their own journey as far as their personal growth and how much work they've done on themselves. Some people, you know, have been working on themselves their whole life, and they really are about evolving, becoming a better person in all areas, whether it's physical, like with through you and all the health things that they do, and also emotional, and really wanting to take accountability for their lives and make, you know, bring happiness to their own lives. But there's also a lot of people, and most of them are in our families, that don't do that, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have to really look at where they are and what they're capable of. And this brings in the compassion. So when we're assessing our family members and looking at Uncle Doug and his drinking, you know, there's probably a whole lot more layers that we can look at and go, oh my gosh, this happened to him when he was younger. You know what I mean? And it's like, come from that place rather than judgment, come from that place of compassion. And that's going to open us up, you know, to really being more kind and more understanding.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, it makes perfect sense to kind of put yourself a little bit more in their shoes.
Yeah.
Is jumping out of, you know, and going into your own context of how you think they should be.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is all, I mean, it's all okay. You know, it's like everybody is where they are, and it's all okay because we're all human. We're doing the best we can. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's so easy to judge ourselves too. Oh, where, you know, I haven't lived up to my own expectations. It's like, well, but what if I have? What if it's okay? What if where I'm at, this kind of like person who struggles and strives and, you know, isn't perfect, what if that's okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What? I mean, I think that's a hard question, you know, for a lot of people who struggle with perfectionism, for a lot of people who struggle with even just look being down on themselves, let's put it that way. I think mm-hmm. you look at that and you're like, I don't know if I could just be okay with where I'm at right now in this
moment. Right. And yeah. Well, and the other thing too, as far as the food thing, you know, we were talking about that a little bit too. All of this ties into that. So, you know, when we sit down and do the work and make the list of all of these people and how we feel about them. That also goes to ourselves and how we feel about ourselves and how we feel about how we show up for ourselves in our lives. And so many times, food is the place where we take all those emotions, right? Rather than wanting to sit with them and process them, it's that's all very tied together. And so another thing too that can happen in holidays is over drinking, overeating, mm-hmm. right? It's like from the anxiety of the family, the anxiety of the feelings of being with somebody that you may not be comfortable with. And so it's easy to kind of cover that up by over drinking. That's a common one. Overeating, obviously, that happens all the time at the holidays. And so, you know, and once again, that's, yeah, it's just, it's really, and it's one thing to overindulge because you choose to do it and you just want to, and it's, you know, the holidays and everybody can, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And then there's another thing to do it because you're feeling anxious because of your family and the situation that's going on. And so I think awareness, bringing awareness to yourself, to how you want to show up, you know, making decisions ahead of time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the whole ahead of time planning, I think for myself, you know, I go back, I'm like, God, if I would have just talked to you like 10 years ago, help me with this awareness business, because the awareness is key. It's so key, but also awareness, then planning, like, okay, we know what happened last year, you mm-hmm. know, how are we going to transition into this year? And, mm-hmm. you know, how are we going to navigate things?
Yeah. Yeah. And what do you want? Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It's like, okay, so that happened last year and that was really horrible. I don't want that to happen again. What can I do within my own self to change that? So that's where all the power is. So, you know, maybe I wasn't compassionate. Maybe I was judgmental. Maybe I said something that triggered someone, you know. And the other thing too, that's, I think, really important is to think about, are there people in our lives that might need an apology for something? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think that that's like, oh, I don't want to lower myself and apologize to that person. But the thing about it is that when you apologize, you set yourself free. Mm-hmm. And there's so much power that comes to you from that, because that's just accountability, right? It's like, I did that and I'm so sorry. That's not what my intention was. And that releases the other person as well. And it's like, that is one of the craziest things that I've been like paying attention to with people in my life, people who are willing to be accountable for their own behaviors and those that are not. And oftentimes the people that are not willing to be accountable, it's because they have so much fear. And if they admit that they've done something wrong, that means they are wrong. Right. And that there's something wrong with them. Mm. But the thing is that we're just humans. We all make mistakes. We all step on each other's toes. We don't mean to, you know, some people might, but it's like, typically, most yeah. people just, you know, they're doing the best they can. But man, you know, if you have a person that you feel like maybe you have hurt their feelings, or maybe you've done something to cause a rift in the relationship, do what you can. If that's in your heart, you know, do what you can to make it better. Now, another story. Mm-hmm. I did this with my sister. I have two sisters. One of them is my best friend. The other one I don't speak to. Okay. So the one that I don't speak to, I was like, I want to make this right. You know, I want to work this out. We haven't spoken in 3 years and it's a long, bloody story. Trust me. We don't want to hear the details of it, but I decided to reach out to her and to, you know, like with love and open heart and say, listen, I would love to connect with you. I would love to work this out. I would love to overcome this so that we can kind of all reconnect. And I got a letter that was so not open, I'll say. it was pretty powerful. It was pretty much a punch. Yeah. And it's like, okay, that really knocked me back. Honestly, it was pretty painful. But I realized that's where she's at too. And I actually had to be coached a lot on that letter because it was so painful. What I realized is that at the end of the day, It's where she is. She doesn't have the capacity to look at these things honestly with me. And there's nothing wrong with her.
Yeah.
That's just where she is.
Yeah.
Took me a lot to get to there because I wanted to judge her. I wanted to make her wrong. I wanted to, you know, I wanted to go down all those roads. And, but, you know, it's just who she is. It's where she's at right now. And talking about that level of evolution where people are, it's like, we have to accept that, right? Otherwise we hurt ourselves.
This is true. This is true. I think a lot of us look at this and go, oh man, I would put it on, you know, oh, she's this, she's that, you know, and there'd be all this anger, but turning it and being like, well, she's just not there. This is a different mind shift for a lot of people that I know we're coming around, right? Mm-hmm. This day and age, we're talking about
yes.
these, but I think it's really easy for the mind to quick go to that. And I'm guessing that's why you had to have some coaching on it. Cause you probably want
yes.
to go to that.
Yes. Well, and you know, here's the thing. And we talked about this a little bit last time too. And that is about the lower brain versus the upper brain. Mm-hmm. So the lower brain is the one that wants to keep us alive. And it's like an old dinosaur. It's not evolved. It doesn't think ahead. It's like, it doesn't plan. It just wants to keep you alive and keep you safe. And it doesn't want you to work too hard because, you know, so that's the part of my brain that wanted to lash out to her, make her wrong. And, you know, and how dare you kind of thing. Right. But then when I was able to work through that emotion and stop and realize that, wait a minute, you know, and then the upper brain takes over and has the ability to see the bigger picture and understand that she's doing the best she can too. And for whatever reason, she has to think about me the way she does. And, you know, I want to like say, how dare you? I'm a good person. You know, I can love you, you know, but she's just not open for that. And it's okay. But it's not easy, let me tell you. And when you have people like that in your life that you want in your life, but they're, you know, in a different place and maybe for whatever reason, that's just where they're at. It's like, you know, it takes some coaching, honestly, to get your brain to where it accepts it and lets it go and realizes, you know what, that's just where they are right now. And it may be the way they are forever. That's possible. And that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And these are some of the things, you know, that I like to call to the forefront of one's overall health, because when we have these things that happen
yes.
in the families within, I'll see a lot of aches and pains, chronic issues start to show up around the holidays, because we're dealing with all that mental thought,
yes. like,
oh, about my sister, oh, about this, oh, about that. And it really does, all that rumination really does tend to take quite a toll on us and that primary
yeah.
brain of ours. And this is something that I love to talk to folks about, but it's also why I'm like, I really want folks to be entertaining the idea of getting a life coach. And getting past the idea, I keep hearing from a lot of patients being like, a life coach, really, I don't need that. And it's like, no, I think we all needed one when
yes.
we, like, as soon as we could talk and, you know, really communicate on a
yes.
know, level with someone, because it's something that I think that's why we have the issues that we do this day and age, is because we haven't really mastered the concept of, oh, wait, I'm in control of what goes on here.
Yes.
And I'm in control of how my whole universe carries out.
Yes.
But,
that's so true.
But it's so hard to convince people of that. And so,
well, you know, and I think what happens is a lot of times we're raised a certain way and then we believe that that's the way to be. But when you hit up against enough really difficult situations in life, sometimes you get a break in your own mind where you're like, I can't do this. I don't know what's going wrong. I keep repeating the same problem. I keep using food or alcohol to numb myself. It's like, that's when the awareness starts to take place. And then a lot of times that's when people will reach out, is when they kind of like get to that point where it's like, I can't figure this out. This has been a problem for 10, 20 years or more. And it's like, I just want a break. And the thing is that once you understand your brain, everything opens up and changes. And we're all human. We all have a brain, and our brains are all basically wired the same way. right? With the lower brain and the higher brain. And it's like, once you start understanding how these things fit together, it's so incredible how your life can shift. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and I think we just have ingrained ideas and beliefs about the way we're supposed to behave and the way life's supposed to go. But sometimes it doesn't.
There's the plan we need to have for when things don't go
as right. Well. Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is that it doesn't take a lot of coaching for you to get like aha moments that just like kind of blow your mind, right? Of like, what? I've been thinking that way. And it's like, I had a client who had been raised in an orphanage, and she had been a foster kid from family to family, like multiples. And she had a lot of trauma. And we did a few coaching sessions, and she's like, I've never, in all my years of therapy, I've never seen things this way before, where she realized she has so much power she didn't realize she had. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we're in a situation like she was, where she was victimized over and over again, you know, it's like, that is a difficult thing to get through, but it's also how you see it. So once you like turn it around and are able to see that you have a lot of power in the way that you choose to think. Mm-hmm. And that shifted everything for her. And it's been just so fun for me to see how she's been able to you know, have some of the pain be relieved and feel like she is in control. And she has family members that she doesn't want to ever see again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's okay too.
Right.
You know, we have this idea that, oh, if you're related to them, you better, you know, see them on Christmas Day. No, you don't have to do that.
No. My husband and I spent prior to COVID the last couple of Christmases skiing by ourselves.
Yay.
Holidays were a rough time for us. Yeah. And that's what we chose to do. And that's awesome. I think a lot of people look at that and they're like, wait, you have to be with family on the holidays. And mm-hmm. we're here to say, no, you don't have to. You don't.
Absolutely true. Yeah. You can make your own, you know, your own new tradition mm-hmm. of whatever it is you want to do. And maybe every Thanksgiving weekend, you want to go to a different ski resort for Christmas or however. I mean, or you want to, you know, instead of going to the family, you want to have, like I was saying earlier, your stray friends yep. that are maybe newly divorced or single or however, you know, they might be like needing that connection, and you get to create it the way you want it. And that's the thing that's so powerful and so fun about this work, is that expectations, obligations, that's optional. Yeah.
Interesting. Just thinking about those words, as them being, especially the obligations part, mm-hmm. because I think a lot of people feel obligated to go to the holiday parties. They feel obligated to bring whatever dish that they brought for like the last
20 years. Yeah.
You know, like, you know, Susie always brings the green bean casserole. If Susie doesn't bring the green bean casserole, like the, you know, stuff hits the can. And, you know, you think about it and you're like, okay, all right, obligations. And you're obligated to, you know, this one, here's another one that I think is something that could literally would drive me nuts. I'm blessed not to have this situation, but multiple divorces in the family where you have to go to like four Thanksgivings in the week, in that mass of the weekend. And then you've got like 10 Christmases.
Oh yeah.
Some advice you might have for some folks about how to manage all of that, back to the expectations, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to, what do you want? Mm-hmm. You know, where is your happy place? Because this is about you creating your own happiness. So let's just drop the obligations, the expectations for just a second, and just look at, how do you feel inside yourself when you think about each place that you have to go to? Which one do you feel drawn to go to? Mm-hmm. Which one would you rather pass up? It's okay if people get mad at you. It's okay if they're disappointed. It's okay, because you can't please everyone. And look what happens when you try to. Then you go to 10 different ones, right? You got to be able to say no and let people be disappointed. They can have their feelings just like you can. It's okay. And this brings me to my next point. Check yourself for lying and people pleasing. So be careful. You are not setting yourself up to do something you don't want to do. When someone wants you to do something and you pretend you want to do it, you create resentment in yourself. So that goes together really well with that topic of multiple family obligations or expectations. It's like, and this comes right back to ourselves, where it's like, okay, I told Aunt Susie I would go to her house, but I really don't want to. I'm lying. Call it what it is. It's okay. And realize that that's not what I want to do. Okay, I'm going to change my mind and I'm going to do this instead. And it doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're a failure. It means that you're finally taking care of yourself. And maybe you've never done that before. Maybe you've never said no. Maybe you've never set a boundary. Maybe you've never said, listen, I'm just going to stay home and cook dinner for me and my two kids. I don't want to go anywhere else. Just, I mean, you, whatever it is, you can do whatever you want to do. And it's like, I think so many times the obligations, the expectations are so binding. And the other thing too, is Christmas and gift giving can be very burdensome.
Yeah.
Right. And depending on, I mean, for one thing, who needs anything anymore? Does anybody, we all need to get rid of half of what we own. We don't need any more gifts.
And then some.
Right. I know. I'm like, even my Goodwill that's like locally to me, it only accepts things on certain days now because they have gotten so overloaded. And I think people have cleaned out their lives with COVID, right? You're home all the time. They're like, I don't want to look at this stuff anymore. I'm getting rid of it. And it's like, so it's kind of like, well, what if you did like a different kind of gift giving? You know, what if you, this is super corny and people might think I'm crazy here, but what if you like wrote like a little message of love? And just said, you know, this is my gift to you. This is how I feel about you. This is what, you know, or maybe let's do lunch January 15th. That's going to be our gift to each other, you know, or however you can make it up, do whatever you want to do, go snowshoeing, right? It's like, just, you know, and it's like create experiences, create connection in a way that has nothing to do with spending money.
I like that. I like, especially the experiences. When you say, let's go snowshoeing, I'm like, you know me. We're listening to this.
For sure. And that's like so much, that's really about the relationship itself rather than the expectation of having to spend X amount of dollars on gifts. The people a lot of times don't even have, right? You know, they don't have the extra money right now. And it's like, that's a big burden.
Huge.
Yeah.
And that kind of brings it full circle and talking about how you were talking about your friend, or how you were talking about how you feel about certain people, writing down, you know, what do you like about them? Why do you love them? What do you, you know, what is it that means so much? Well, take that and work it into, you know, like a walking date, a walk and talk.
Yes.
Coffee. I mean, those kind of things, you know, coffee, tea. Yes. Starbucks, you could be quite expensive on that, but at least, you know, you're doing something that, like you said, created an experience. And I really like that because I think people are going to remember that much, much more than the random gifts that
how many gifts do we get that we don't even want? You know, it's like people don't really know what you want. And so then they guess, and then they get you things. You're like, oh God, there's something else I have to give to the Goodwill. I'm sorry. That's really cold, but that happens to me sometimes. And I'm like, ah, stop buying me gifts.
I literally, we were just having that conversation yesterday. We were in the car. I'm like, there is nothing that I want. Nothing besides just hanging out with the people I love. And I like to, you know, I've mentioned eating and food. I love having food with folks, but really, I mean, I like to just hang out. And so, yes, we're like, oh, we can save those poor folks at the Goodwill from being overwhelmed. Like, work on the experience.
Yes, exactly. Like, and that's like building up your own tribe, right? Your own connection with the people that you really want to connect with. And that's going to improve the relationship. It's going to improve the connection, and it's going to make them feel good too, mm-hmm. which, you know, in the end, that's ultimately what we all want, is to feel better about our own selves and about our relationships. And, you know, and really, like, coming back to that, the beginning, where we write down what it is we feel about each of the people in our families or friendships, whatever. And then also, what do we want? That's part of this too. So that brings it back full circle, where it's like, okay, this is how I feel about this person. If we have politics and healthcare and all the things that are so triggering, if that's at the center, in the forefront of our relationships, there's not going to be any peace. Yeah. There's not going to be any connection, because everybody is so polarized, and it's really sad, honestly, because in a way though, if this hadn't happened, I wouldn't have that level of acceptance for my girlfriend either. So there's an option there. I mean, you know, really, you can really go, okay, that happened, but what do I choose to learn from this, and how can I grow within myself?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, my mom used to say everything happens for a reason. And I hated that statement. I used to think, I don't like this reason. It was kind of like patience is a virtue. And I'd be like, patience is a virtue I don't have. But now
So there's an option there. I mean, you know, really, you can really go, okay, that happened, but what do I choose to learn from this? And how can I grow within myself?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, my mom used to say everything happens for a reason. And I hated that statement. I used to think, I don't like this reason. It was kind of like patience is a virtue. And I'd be like, patience is a virtue I don't have. But now I go, oh, you know, there really is a lesson to be learned in every single thing that we come into in life and every interaction. And really, I like to think of much of these new interactions as they develop with who's on what side of whatever. It's chance to learn a little bit more about someone, chance to learn a little bit more about where they come from, why.
Yeah.
You feel that certain way. And it's a great way to get to know people a little bit better.
Yeah.
To learn.
Well, and that's really a good point. And it's really a challenge too. You know, because I think so often what we do is, you know, you hear somebody make a comment, you're like, what? Oh my gosh, that's what you think? Forget it. You know what I mean? It's like, and I did that for actually a few years over certain people and certain topics. And it's like, I was really black and white about my ideas and my beliefs. And I thought, you know what, at the end of the day, we're all human beings, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, everybody is doing the best they can do. And if they have different beliefs and ideas, it's like you said, it's because of something that they've lived mm-hmm. and experienced. And that's okay, because I'm not going to decide whether a person is valuable or not. Not that I have the ability to do that, but it's like based on what they choose to think. Mm-hmm. I choose to think that everybody's lovable, mm-hmm. everybody's worthy, no matter what. Mm-hmm. I may not choose to have them in my life, and that's okay.
Sure. And I think that's important. We have a choice. We yeah. have to. We're in control yeah. of what's up here. No one else is in control of
absolutely.
What's up here. And we can choose how we want the holidays to go, and we can design our own
adventure. Amen, sister.
However we want it to be. So Nate, yes. you have given us so much info. Is there anything else that you had in terms of points that we didn't talk about? Do we go through all of them? I want to make sure everybody gets everything, because this is key info to move forward through these holidays.
Yeah. Well, here's a final thought, that family is an opportunity for us to grow, and love is always available. You may not always choose it, and that's okay. But then again, I talked about apologizing and how important that is. It's like, I think that this is just, you know, some good basic information on where to go in order to create a happy holiday for yourself. And you do have that ability, no matter what.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, folks, now we've got some stuff that we can put together to kind of like a plan, right? A game plan to prep for the holidays. I really want you guys to be taking some notes. putting some things together so that you can create your own holiday, not the one that is going to be laid in front of you, because you have the option. You have your control of your thoughts. So Nancy, tell everybody where they can find you online, how they can reach out for help if they're like, I need someone to guide me through this, which, by the way, guys, I really do think we all need someone. You heard Nancy say she's got a coach. I have multiple coaches. It's how you navigate, and it's just helpful to have someone guide you through.
Yeah, things absolutely. It doesn't matter how far you are in your life, as far as, you know, your evolution, your education or whatever. We all have a human brain. And when we are in the picture, or when we're inside the frame, we can't see the picture, right? So it's like, we need to have somebody reflect back to us what's going on in our own selves, in our own brain. So I have a coaching website. It's www.nancymccartney.com. So McCartney is McCartney. And I offer 30-minute free coaching sessions for anybody that wants like an idea of what it's about and how I coach. Love to work with anybody that would like to go on my website and just click the link. You can set up an appointment. Would love to work with you. And I also offer a 6-week program. Basically, we go into the meat and potatoes of your brain and how to see how what you're thinking may be causing yourself pain. And it's very individual. It's for your own life, your own situation, whatever it may be, whether you're wanting to stop overeating, stop over drinking, relationship issues. We go into all of it. So I would love to work with anyone who would love to come in and have a meeting with me.
Love it.
Yeah. Love it.
Folks, Nancy's fabulous. She is a great help. And especially to us ladies. And I said over 50 at the beginning, I really think most of us start to become more aware of the things that are building as we start to head into our late 30s, 40s and beyond. And really,
yes.
I wish I would have started looking into having a life coach in my early 30s versus starting to look at it in my early 40s. I had 10 years of chaos. So
yes.
Those of you who are out there just really kind of going, I keep repeating the same mistakes. The holidays keep sucking and I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I really want that Hallmark holiday, but it's not happening for me. Time to take a look upstairs and chat with somebody. And I think Nancy's a great option for you guys. So on
Thank you.
You guys have survived another episode of The Health Fix. Nancy, thanks for coming back on and sharing.
Thank you, Janine. Appreciate it so much. Super fun.
Well, we'll be talking again soon, I'm sure. There's plenty of topics.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Hey, health junkies. I know that I deliver a lot of information and there's no doubt that you're listening to multiple podcasts. And with all that information, it can get a little confusing to know what direction to go in next. Well, like I'm always saying, test, don't guess. I have partnered with the Excella Internal Fitness Company to test your gut health, to test your immune health, to look at your cognitive acuity, your ability to make energy, your metabolism, and how good you are at managing your stress. Now, while this might be seeming too good to be true, the Excella Fitness Company has really dialed in on these 11 metabolites that can tell you a lot about yourself and how you're doing internally. So I have a 90-day program built around pre and post testing with the Excella Fitness Company, and I would love for you to check it out and join me to help transform your health. Now, what kind of conditions would this treat? Well, definitely working on hormone imbalances. If you're low on energy, you just want to optimize your health, you've got some gut issues, this is the program for you. So if you want to learn more, head over to drjkrausnd.com and click on my tab that says courses and go right to the Own Your Health program. Thank you for listening to the Health Fix podcast. I sincerely appreciate it and hope to see you in the course or on the podcast with me again soon. Hey there, if you enjoyed this episode of The Health Fix, I bet you'd love to join us in our Facebook group Find Your Health Fix, where we keep the conversation going from the podcast, but also talk all things health and how we can be athletes and healthy for life. So if you're interested in being on top of your A game, not taking pharmaceutical medications, and being healthy for life, come on over to Find Your Health Fix. We'll see you there.